isn't it? I wrote this song a little bit about getting old and just having fun, fun in the Lord. And if you could imagine your cake, all you people standing, your cake with all those candles just a-flaming away, that's what inspired this song.
Lots of candles, I declare, but what's happening to your hair? Gold and silver treasures be, makes us think of ones like thee. Lots of candles, I declare, but what's happening to your hair? As a child you played it all, now you live on Geritol. Still run the mile in under 9. Is that minutes, hours, or tries? Lots of candles, I declare. Does your body need repair? See the birthdays come and go, and the mind you used to know, smiles of memories from the past, now your smile soaks in a glass. Lots of candles, I declare, oh, remind me not to stare. Birthday candles flaming bright interfere with satellite. Torch the cake is what we fear, growing brighter every year. Lots of candles, I declare, now you know how much we care.
Happy birthday!
Be careful, if I find out you know something about talent, you'll be up here. Okay, well, I want to just remind everybody out here, we are a safe and healthy group, and it's your responsibility to keep it that way. I think several of you have seen emails come out. We appreciate any input that we get. We take that into an account, and we are just going to keep making this and keeping it a healthy group. So take time, get to know one another, and beware of those who push the limits of Romans 16:16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Okay. And if you, just a little side note, if anybody's struggling with any issues, we definitely want to talk to you and hear from you. We're here for you, and you're welcome to contact me at any time, and we can set up just to have coffee or chat or whatever you'd like to do, and that will all be kept in confidence. So if anybody is struggling with any issue, just feel free to contact me. And if you are new tonight, we need a profile sheet from you. Please fill that out and leave it in the baskets as you leave tonight, or you can personally hand it to me. I'd be happy to take that from you. Okay, table host and hostesses. If you are a table host or hostess, raise your hand. Oh, come on. I know there's more of you. If someone did not raise their hand at your table tonight, you get to appoint someone. However, next Monday, for those of you who are interested in becoming a table host, or if you are currently one, we are going to have a meeting here at the church at 7 o'clock. It's just a real short training meeting because we have grown so fast, we have not even had the opportunity to designate table hosts very many anyway. So we want to make sure that we are training everybody in that area. Now I have a couple of special announcements. Kim and Gwen are coming up here to let you know what's coming up.
Okay, for those of you who don't know, we have a social committee, and for Valentine's Day, most of us are not going to have hot dates, which is great. That means we can be here to play And most importantly, we're going to sing. So don't be afraid to come. We're going to have a lot of fun. Brian's not teaching. We're going to play. And Brian's not singing. But we may be singing. And I'm not going to tell you who we is. But anyway, be here for Valentine's Day. We're going to have a lot of fun. And we're going to get to be all together. So thank you.
Okay. Tell me about the cool room.
Put it up here.
China.
I'm Kimberly, and I am on the social committee, and I am the first host of the first social, which is the Super Bowl party this Sunday here at the church. You can certainly come in your attire, so we know who you're rooting for, and if you don't, you don't like to root for anybody. There's AFC and NFC. Okay, that's just for the ladies that may not know that. We're going to meet downstairs in the youth room. I just checked it out with Jane. It's a beautiful room. It's got pool tables and chairs and big screen TVs, and we're going to have places to put the food that all of you are going to bring that we can all eat. So there's a flyer on your table, and we will be sending out an email this week to everybody, an email blast. But the game starts at 4:30, so I'm saying you'll be here around 4. Bring a dish to share and your own drink. And it does say no alcohol, please, because I was told I had to put that on there. I asked if that included beer, and I was told yes, it does. And you can... It doesn't in my house, but... and your kids are welcome, too. So bring them and come and have fun. And you do need to RSVP, please, so that we know how many to expect. Thank you.
And just so you know, we will be sending an invite out through Meetup, so you can RSVP through that site. And the room is really cool, so if you're coming just for the commercials, Broncos aren't in it, so I'm just coming for the commercials. It's going to be a lot of fun. Your children are welcome to attend with you if you have kids. They just have to be behaved, you know, but it's the youth room. I mean, how bad can that be? So anyway, they'll have a good time. We'll have a good time. And now I'm going to turn it over to Brian because he keeps doing this.
Thank you, Jane. Thanks for those working on the social committee. I will be attending the events. Fortunately, I don't have to work at them. So that's great. So, hey, so grateful for all of you that have come out tonight. How many are here for the first time? Just raise your hand. Okay, a lot of you. That's wonderful. Give you a round of applause. This has been a real miracle ride. We started in November with 30 people, and then in December we had 60, and then this month we're up to like right around 230, 240, somewhere in there for tonight. So thank you for telling people about this, and we have people coming from at least 70 churches, and that's a pretty amazing thing. And so we're just very grateful for each of you that are here. Hopefully you have handouts. I'm going to be speaking from this tonight, and these will also be used during the breaks. Do we have any extra handouts if needed? Anyone that does not have handouts? There's a few handouts over there. Can someone help? Julie's in the back. If you can help get some handouts there. I'm actually finishing up a five-week series that I've been doing called New Beginnings, God's Plan for Fellowship, Friendship, and Dating. One thing I do need to mention is if you've got cell phones and stuff, if you could put those on stun, that would be great. We'd appreciate that. And also, if you can avoid trying to be texting and so forth, we have had some nice people say they were trying to pay attention to what was going on and the people around them were either talking or goofing around and texting, and it just got distracting. So we appreciate your respect for those around you. I've been teaching this series, this five-part series, and I put on here the list of what I've talked about in the past because everything we have is online. All the videos are online, MP3 files. Within the next couple of weeks, we'll be up on iTunes for free podcasts. We have all the handouts, but we've covered an awful lot of things in these 5 weeks. So we looked at first week, I gave kind of my testimony, my story, 10 common operating systems of singles we looked at, the world's low roads for singles, That was week one. Week two, we talked about 10 keys to real life and real relationships. Three is we had friends with boundaries and blessings, not benefits. How many were here for that one? Okay, that is probably the most important one to watch. If you're going to watch one thing, that will give you more of a roadmap for your singleness than maybe anything else that we have out there. It's nine phases of healthy, Christ-centered male-female relationships. And those nine phases are to be involved in Christian fellowship, to be developing friendships, to be having one-to-one friends, and then having a DTR, which is a defining the relationship discussion, social dating, and then another DTR, which then says, are we going to move towards marriage or not? And then you get into the courtship, engagement, and marriage. But that's a very, very helpful roadmap. Most singles do not have a roadmap for their singleness. I was talking to a friend this week, and they said, oh, there's a roadmap. It's called the sitcom Friends. All right? That's the roadmap. But that road doesn't take you anywhere good. And so we're trying to give you a very, very different roadmap to take a look at. Last week I talked on good things to know, 15 God-given differences between most women and men. It was meant to be a lighthearted look and some broad generalities. Most people took it well. Unfortunately, there were some people that it was a very hard message. And I had my first experience with real hate mail this last week. And so that was an interesting experience for me. But we meant it to be lighthearted and look at some things, but for some people it was a real struggle to hear some of that. But somebody sent me an email and they said, well, when you shine the lights, the critters scatter. So I was grateful for that little encouragement. All right, and today we're going to look at God's ancient wisdom for our modern world, God's sanity for singles in an insane world. All right? And tonight in particular, we're going to really anchor into Scripture. We're really going to look at some Scriptures and really try to frame all of our lives in a scriptural context. Because God's ways are good ways. And God created us. He made us. He loves us. He cares about us. He has a future for us. And so it's very, very important we understand, well, what does that look like? And so the B-I-B-L-E is listed here. That stands for, if you're taking notes, B-I-B-L-E stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Okay? Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Any complex item that is created comes with an owner's manual. Comes with an owner's manual, and you and I have an owner's manual. It's called the Bible. And in there are answers and there are solutions for every aspect of life and every part of the life journey that we're on. God has insights and he has answers. Now, the average person, though, usually looks at life or looks at anything they buy, and they might say to themselves, well, I'm bright enough to figure this out on my own. So that, you know, you buy something, you get it home, and you start fiddling with it, and suddenly going like, you know, this isn't working. And so then you go and find the owner's manual. Well, I've discovered in life that God has allowed me sometimes to experience pain or difficulty or challenges to get my attention so that I'm hungry and desirous of saying, okay, God, I did it my way and my way didn't work very well. I'm really ready to discover what you have to say. Proverbs 11:2 talks about humiliation comes before wisdom. And sometimes in my life's journey, I literally have been humiliated by things, and I say, God, I've got the humiliation part figured out. I'm really ready for the wisdom, okay? But look at here, Psalm 119, 67, 71, 75, 92. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. And what I like to tell people is don't waste your pain. Don't waste your pain. Let God take any pain in your life experience and make it gain. And let God use pain and use challenging situations and use tough times to really get your attention. So you say, okay, God, you have my undivided attention. What do you want to say to me? And as I was praying about what do I share tonight, is there any scripture that I could really anchor into that could make a difference in every one of our lives, my own included? Because I'm single also. I'm single again. And I came across a verse, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1-6, and it's in a translation called God's Word Translation. And I loved what this said. I loved this scripture, and I loved what it said. And what I would like us to do is I'm going to have us read it together. And what I'm going to do is I'll say a phrase, and I'd like to have all of you repeat the phrase. And I really want this verse to really sink deep inside of you, sink into your soul, and let God's word speak to you. So I'll say a phrase and you repeat it. Brothers and sisters, because of the Lord Jesus, we ask and encourage you to excel in living a God-pleasing life. It is God's will that you keep away from sexual sin. As a mark of your devotion to Him, each of you should know that finding a husband or wife for yourself is to be done in a holy and honorable way. Not in a passionate, lustful way. A people who don't know God. No one should take advantage of or exploit other believers that way. Amen. Isn't that a great verse? Give the Lord a hand clap on that verse. That is an awesome verse. And I really, in my time tonight, I want to really kind of walk through this and say, okay, what do we need to walk away with tonight from that verse? What do we need to really grab hold of and let it grab hold of us so that we're better people in all of our interactions and all of our relationships and into our future, that we really embrace what God has for us? Tip number one, be part of a Christ-centered, God-pleasing, and word-based church or groups or people. It says here, we ask and encourage you to excel. It means to overflow and abound in living a God-pleasing life. Following God, finding approval from God, delighting God's heart. And literally, our life is to be devoted to that focus, not to finding a mate, not to dealing with all of our issues, not to dealing with our problems, but really our focus is to really excel in the God-pleasing life that God has for every one of us. And so for us, this group, the heart of this group is to be a Christ-centered group. When I moved here this summer, some of you heard the story, but I was saying, okay, I'm single again a few years, moved to Denver for the first time, didn't know a single person when I moved here, and I'm like, okay, I need to find other Christian believers that I can go with, I can grow with, I can make friends with, and I was really struggling to find things. So, you know, so I dabbled a little bit on the whole online thing. That was a messy world. Didn't care for that experience. I looked on meetup groups, and there's a number of meetups in town. I was looking for something on this side of town. Wasn't really finding anything. There were some things that were Christian in name, but I didn't see Christian. I didn't see them being Christ-centered. And so I really said it with Jane. I said, let's start something. Let's do something that could maybe draw people together. And to do it in a way that's Christ-centered, that honors God, that's word-based. And that was really the heart of this group. It's interesting. I really believe what's happening here in these recent months is one of God's miracles in our city. It's one of God's miracles in our city, because for single and single again adults, in the average church, you are among the invisible and the ignored, right? The average church, and I've been a senior pastor, and we did nothing for people that were single or single again. In my church, they were the invisible and the ignored. There were not messages appropriate to them. There were not ways we ministered to them. We did not connect them with other people. And so I really realized that as we started this, that God is doing something here. This right now is one of the biggest Christian meetup groups in America that's going on right now, right tonight. That's amazing. Okay? You look at other meetup groups, there's some very big ones. In Texas, they have one that's 3,000 people. But when they have events, they only get out 70 or 80 or 90 people. The fact that we're getting 200 and 210 and 220 and 230 people from all over the metro and even beyond, because some people are coming from Breckenridge and Boulder and Colorado Springs and Falcon and different places, that is a God kind of a thing. And the reason I say it's a miracle because of the incredible diversity in this room, okay? We have our singleness in common, but when you really run the gamut of who's in this room, we have people in their 30s to 50s, and we have some that have snuck in their 20s and 70s, okay? We have builders, we have boomers, we have busters, we have bridgers. We have people on welfare, and we have people that are millionaires. We have people that have never been married, people that are separated, people that are divorced, people that are widowed. We have people who have never been kissed, and people who have kissed too many. We have people with PhDs, and we have people with GEDs in this group. We have people that have graduated summa cum laude, and others that graduated thank you, dear Lordy. That was me. We have people from 70 churches and many people without a church. We have Catholics to charismatics and everything in between. We have people that are hurting emotionally, people that are healing, and people that are healthy. We have people that have just started their single again journey, and we have been people that have been single for a long time. We have sinners and we have saints. And saints, by the way, are just forgiven sinners. But each and every one of us have this in common. We need Christ. We need more of Christ. Many of us need more Christian friends that will encourage us in our life's journey. And we need the wisdom of God to move forward in our lives in healthy ways. While in the world's eyes, we're in many different places, the ground is always level at the cross of Christ. So no matter what our journey has been, in the past, no matter what has gone on in our life, no matter what happiness has gone on or hurts have gone on, that before the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be made brand new people. And I love the phrase that I continue to share with many people, that God's windshield for your future is bigger and brighter than the rear view mirror of your past. Okay, I'm going to say that again, and I repeat it frequently. God's windshield for your future is bigger and brighter than the rear view mirror of your past. If you stare in a rear view mirror, you will crash. Okay? That's just the way life is. You can glance at a rear view mirror, but you've got to put your eyes ahead of you. You've got to focus on the future that God has for you. Even the Apostle Paul, who went through a lot of difficult things, he said, forgetting what lies behind, I press on to the high calling that he had in Christ. With God's help, our tragedies can be turned to triumph. Our mess can become a message. Our pain can be turned into gain. Our scars can become stars. And our sadness can be turned to gladness. And so I'm glad for you. I'm glad that God has led you to this group and to the people in this room. And I look forward to great things in the weeks and months and even years ahead, that in this place and among these people, you will find amazing and awesome friends and fellowship. And some of you will date and some of you will marry. And that's all cool. All right? But I want, with the Lord's help, and Jane wants, and the leaders that are serving in this ministry, we just want this to be a God-honoring place that really, really blesses you and benefits your life. Tip number two, become the best you that you can be with God's help. Become the best you that you can be with God's help. Use your "what am I looking for" list to become your "look in the mirror" list. Do you have a "what am I looking for" list? You see, there's some people here, if you're completely satisfied being single, you have no desire to marry, you are totally okay with that, there's no problem. But many people in this room, if not most, would resonate with my friend who wrote the article, "If singleness is a gift, where can I return it?" Okay? If singleness is a gift, where can I return it? All right? And so we as singles, we kind of are always on the lookout for that right person, that person that maybe we'll meet, that maybe we could marry and all of that. And we have this little checklist of what we're looking for. Some people have a real short list. Some people have a really long list. I don't know if you even have a list. But what it needs to become is that list that we have. We're looking for someone else. We're looking for someone healthy. We're looking for someone that's Christian. We're looking for someone that's honest. We're looking for someone that's caring. You know, whatever that list of things is that you've got, it needs to become your look in the mirror list. Are you becoming that person? On our website, ChristianSinglesInDenver.com, there's a great, great series by Andy Stanley. I would encourage anyone to watch that video series. And he asked this question: are you becoming the person you are looking for is looking for? Are you becoming the person you are looking for is looking for? And it's, again, that same idea. Are you using your list to become a mirror to make you a better person? Because you're looking for that good kind of person. Are you becoming that kind of person? What are you looking for? Some people just boil it down to, well, I just want someone attractive, funny, and smart. One woman told me, she said, well, my list is simple. I want a man who believes in God and likes golf. Okay, there might be 30 of you that qualify for that definition tonight. I believe in God and I like golf. She's ready. So she's not here tonight. That's why I could tell that story on her. Okay. And here's a question for you. Are you available to anyone, everyone, or the right one? Are you available to anyone, everyone, or the right one? I was talking to someone, a friend of mine, and I made a comment one day about being eligible, and she said, I don't like that word, and I don't think you should use it. I thought, oh, okay. I thought I was eligible. I thought I'm single again. I'm an eligible man. And she said, no, Brian, if you're a Christian man, you are reserved. You're not eligible. You're reserved. And I said, what do you mean? She said, God has his hand on you. God has his hand on your life. God has his hand on your future. And God may choose to bring someone into your life, but you are reserved for that person. And I like that. I like that thought, that we're to live our singleness devoted to God. And in our single journey, yes, God may connect us to someone that he intends us to be with. But that was a cool thought. You know, I'm going to read something. This was an email to myself, but it's just going public. Jane did this, but it's the whole idea of what's your list look like. I was talking to someone last week. She's not here tonight, but she said, you know, she said, most guys don't have a very good list. You know, their list is, I want someone cute, I want someone attractive, I want someone funny, I want someone nice, and it's kind of end of the story. And she was saying, you know, what about loving God? Isn't that important? What about a devoted Christian woman? Isn't that important? And she had talked to a number of Christian guys, and that wasn't on their list. And I wrote an email to myself a number of months ago, and I'm going to read part of it. Now, this is not all of it, but it's part of it. My wife's name was Sandy. I said, says this, after Sandy had gone home to be with the Lord, someone encouraged me to write a list of the type of qualities and attributes I would like in a woman if the Lord ever allowed me to marry again. And by the way, Jane had a list. She shared it in December. We're going to put her list up on the website so you can get that if you want to apply, gentlemen. So that's okay. I said this, I resisted this idea for over a year. But as I began to meet and form friendships with some quality Christian women, I realized I really needed to sit down and write out if or when God ever allowed me to remarry, what type of person would I be looking for? So while no one would ever see the entire list, this list was my jello on the wall to see what God might allow to stick. This list is also a reminder that I need to actively be this type of person and be developing many of these qualities and attributes in my own personal life. Okay. And I really, as I thought about this, I was thinking to myself, I thought, you know, if I ever would remarry, how would I know? How would I know it's the person that would be right for me based on things that God's put in my heart? Well, some of my things are, thank you, appreciate that. Number one, loves serving the Lord and others. Two, joyful, likes to smile and laugh easily. I'm going to skip over some. Expresses and shows love and care for those she meets or come in contact with. In other words, when this person would just be meeting people, is she caring to those immediately around her? Wanting and willing to read a passage of Scripture and pray together every day. That's important. That'd be important to me. Generous. Has a joy in giving financially and of herself. I'm going to skip over several. Knows herself. Knows her skills, knows her strengths, knows her weaknesses, knows her desires and dreams for the future, knows her hot spots, knows her hurts, and knows her hurdles. Has become a woman of the Word, looks to God in Scripture and prayer on a daily basis. Connected to a local church, i.e., church involvement is not one of the options for the weekend, but a normal part of a weekend or week's activities. Shows godly wisdom in the areas of shopping and purchasing, spending. Someone went, yeah, there you go, I'm out. Does not handle conflict by being mean-spirited, hateful, hurtful, getting historical, instead of hysterical. Getting hysterical means always bringing up old pasts and hurts and issues. Unforgiving, cold, distant, withdrawing. Attacking, crude, vulgar. There are women like that. I would never want to share the house with a woman like that. Grateful versus grumbling. Flexible versus rigid. That's not a physical thing. That's a schedule. Some of your minds just kind of go places. What's he saying? Oh, it says time, schedule, and activities right there on my list. This is an interesting one. Has significantly thought through and worked through any life issues, hurts, wounds, etc. So she is in a healthier place in her life now and in the future. Enjoys travel and meeting new people and a whole bunch more. If you don't know what you're looking for, you'll never find it. What's your list? Jane has a list. I have a list. I don't know if I'll ever remarry again. That's not the point. The point is my life is devoted to God. I want to live a life pleasing to God. And in that process, if he ever chooses to allow me to remarry again, great. But I know what it is I'm looking for. And it's not just cute and funny and attractive, although those are all great things. But those aren't the most important things. All right, let's go on to number three. Tip number three. Keep away from sexual sin, and I love this phrase, as a mark of your devotion to him. Why would you keep yourself sexually pure? Somebody wrote me an email from this group, and I loved what she said. She said, I used to avoid doing the wrong things because I feared God's wrath and the wrath of my parents. Feared God's wrath, but I now realize that it's not about fearing God's wrath, it's about worshiping God with who I am. Worshiping God with your body. Your Heavenly Father created your body. The Lord Jesus Christ bought your body with his blood on the cross. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, indwells your body. Therefore, honor God with your body. In other words, you are to keep away from sexual sin as a mark, as an indicator of your all-out devotion to him. The scripture we read was, together, it is God's will, absolutely God's will, that you keep away from sexual sin. It literally means to abstain from or distance yourself, to keep the car parked with the parking brake on sexually. And instead of pursuing sexual activity, instead you focus on being pure, clean, sanctified, consecrated to God in body, mind, heart, and spirit as a mark of your devotion to him. Years ago when I was at the University of Wisconsin-Madison where I attended, Josh McDowell from Campus Crusade for Christ came to town, came to that university, and all over that university they put big banners on the dorms and on the university buildings, and it was called, Come Here, Josh McDowell, Talk About Maximum Sex. okay? And I was like, whoa, I'm interested, okay? Yeah, I'm going to go to that. Do you know what the talk was? It was on maximum abstinence, okay? But nobody would have come. Can you imagine signs around a college campus? Come to the maximum abstinence rally. It would have been the speaker and his wife, maybe. I don't know. Nobody else would have come. But when it was called maximum sex, hundreds and thousands of people were there. And they're all like, you know, what's he going to say? And he talked about God's plan for sexuality. He talked about the most important sexual organ is a person's mind. It's their mind. It's their memories and all of that. And he talked about staying pure and living life the way God intended. And that was one of the things that God used to begin to get my attention. Another thing he began to use to get my attention is I was talking to a girl one day in the dorms. She's a beautiful young lady. And I was talking to her about one of my best friends. And she said, well, I can trust Bill. I remember her saying those words. I can trust Bill. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. No girl can trust Bill. I mean, I knew Bill. I had spent years with Bill. No girl could trust Bill. But then she said this. She said, oh, he became a Christian, and so I can trust him. And I said, what does that have to do with anything when it comes to trusting a man sexually or physically? She goes, oh, I can completely trust him. And I literally marched over to Bill's dorm, and I'm like, what is this all about? What is this girl saying she can trust you because you're a Christian? And I said, Bill, I know you. I know what you're like, you know? And he said, Brian, Jesus Christ has changed my life. And he's made me a brand new person. And I have new desires and a new ability to do the right thing instead of the wrong thing. And I'm like, Bill, you are way too good of a friend to give up just because you got a little religion. And I'm sure you're going to get over this, because this isn't even healthy. I mean, that was my thinking at that time. And as I began to spend time with Bill at college and his beautiful cheerleader girlfriend, Nancy, and to see their physical relationship and the purity that was exhibited, I was like, wow, that's different than anything I'd ever seen. I was living in a frat house at the time, and that was an interesting experience. And so I had this one Christian, Bill, and his girlfriend, Nancy, and I had these 80 frat brothers, and the contrast was huge. There was like all this darkness with all these frat guys, and there was a shining light of this Christian couple dedicated to God, devoted to God, and living a pure life. And that just had a huge impact on my life. Finally came to the place in my life where I came to Christ. I literally, in a broom closet, God worked in my life in an amazing way in a sermon, and I went and found in a broom closet, and I got on my knees, and I really cried out to God, God, I'm a liar, and I'm a thief, and I'm immoral, and I'm a drunkard, and I'm a blasphemer, and I just told God everything I was, and said, Lord Jesus, you know, if you can make anything out of my life, if you can cleanse me, if you can forgive me, please come into my life. And so the Lord met me in that broom closet one day. And I remember coming up out of that broom closet and a couple of days later talking to my friend Bill. And I said, Bill, you know, I said, you and Nancy live this pure relationship. I said, I have no idea what that's like or why that is or what it's about. Can you go in your Bible and find out all the verses you can on purity and sexuality and men and women relationships? I said, because I need to know what God says, because I'm not living life like that. And so he went and got all kinds of verses, and I read those verses, and God really began to show me that what I was doing and the way I was living was not the right way, but that I was cleansed and I was forgiven and I could have a brand new start. Well, anyway, so I came to Christ. I got my BA degree, my born-again degree at Madison, went back to Milwaukee, and I grew up just going to the bars all the time. That's just what I did. But anyway, so I was going to the bars, and I remember I would drink my sodas, and all my friends were getting drunk, and that was kind of a weird experience. Then I found a Christian group like similar to this, very similar to this group, awesome Christian people, and I really began to develop some great Christian friendships. And then one of the gals said, I was going to go on a business trip to Minneapolis, and she said, hey, I have a sister up in Minneapolis, and you're a Christian, Brian. Would you go witness to her? Would you go tell her about Christ? you know, and I said, sure, I'd love to do that. So she gave me your number, and I called her up, and we scheduled dinner. And so I'm a new Christian, like 5-6 months old in the Lord. And so anyway, so I take her out to dinner, and so we decided to have a little bit of wine, and so we went ahead and did that. And then so I took her home afterwards, and she said, well, why don't you come in for a little while? So I said, okay. It was at her parents' house. And I don't know, one thing led to another, and then I'm on the couch with her, and then I'm kissing her, and she's kissing me, and, you know, all that stuff's going on. And then she says to me, she says, hey, my parents are gone for the weekend, so why don't we just go upstairs and we can sleep together? It'll be awesome. And I'm laying there with this gal in my arms, and I had just memorized my first Bible verse. My first Bible verse, here's what it says. It's right there, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And so this gal's coaxing me to come upstairs. And I'm frozen, like kind of on the couch. I'm not doing anything, you know. And she goes, what's wrong? Aren't you going to come upstairs? And suddenly I blurted out, no temptation is overtaking you. And I kind of blurted out this verse. She says, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm a Christian. She goes, what does it have to do with anything? I said, well, it has a lot to do with it. I came here to tell you about Christ. I didn't come here to sleep with you. And what were you saying? I said, well, no temptation has overtaken me. Was kind of the man. And I went through the verse, and she said, you're quoting Bible verses at me? I said, yes, I'm quoting Bible verses at you. I said, every cell in my body wants to race you to the top of the stairs. And I said, you know, 6 months ago, I would have been the first one up there. But I said, I'm a Christian, and I can't go up there. She goes, are you kidding me? And she grabbed me and she threw me off the couch. And I was laying on my back going, God is faithful. He provided a way of escape. She was done. She did not want to hear anymore. She goes, you can just get yourself out of here. You know, God provided a way of escape. So glad I had that Bible verse. I don't think I could have told you that story without that Bible verse. Because I would have said, wow. In Minneapolis. I don't know her. She doesn't know me. No one knows we're here. It'll be okay. No, it wasn't okay. My body belonged to Christ. I was devoted to him. And I had to learn about boundaries. You know, we're going to talk about boundaries here. I had to learn about boundaries in my life. And Song of Solomon says this, 2:7, don't excite love, which is sexual intimacy. Don't stir it up, don't arouse it, don't awaken it until the time is right, which means the right time, the proper time. And in one of my messages, we talked about be friends with boundaries and blessings, not benefits. And the little phrase is keep everything zipped, on, buttoned, and in. If you do that, it's physically impossible to go too far. Avoid the horizontal position. That's what I was doing that night on the couch. And all the engines were revving. God made it that way. He made men and women. He made it to feel so good. And so avoid the horizontal. Keep hands kept away from the private parts. And then I always love the kicker. Open and close the date in prayer. And as I said a few weeks ago, you would never say to someone, okay, that was great sex. Well, now let's get dressed because we're going to pray together. Probably wouldn't say that. And so to really have boundaries, to really have boundaries in your life. So you don't put yourself in situations that's going to tempt you, that's going to tempt the other person, that's going to take you where God's will never has desired for you to go. And then 2 Corinthians 6:14, stop forming inappropriate relationships with unbelievers. Can right and wrong be partners? I've had a number of women tell me in recent months, they said, you know, I got involved sleeping with someone, and that I let that relationship go way beyond what it ever should have. If I went to sleep with them, it would have been easier to cut it off. But because I slept with that person, it just got real sticky, it got real tough, and we were just kind of meshed together. That's what happens. And one gal said, I wasted a year of my life giving myself sexually to a man who would never marry me. And these both were supposedly Christians. But she said, I wasted a year of my life because I got sexually involved. I wish I never would have. And a lot of other women have just said, you know, that, you know, date, if you're going to date someone, you're going to look at the possibility of marriage. God's desire, God's heart for you is that it would be a fellow believer, and also that you're a believer. If you're not a believer, you can become one. Tip number four, find a spouse in a holy and honorable way. I thought that was an interesting verse. You know, find a spouse in a holy and honorable way. How are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to give you a couple ideas. One is take an interest in others. Take an interest in others. I love this format because if you come at 6, you have an hour to sit and talk with people. You'll have a half hour after this message to talk with people. Just getting to know people in a comfortable, non-stress, non-pressure environment. Some of you have done speed dating in this group. Some of you have done online dating in this group. Some of you have done a variety of things, you know, blind dates, all of that. Those things are stressful, okay? They're stressful. This is nice. Just getting to talk to people and take an interest in people and learn about people. This is awesome to be able to do that. Learn to take an interest. Philippians 2:4, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. But the average person does not know how, or many people don't know how to carry on a conversation. Have you ever sat by someone and literally there's silence because there's nothing going on between you? I'm going to solve that for every one of you right now. Every one of you, I don't care how shy you are, I don't care how extroverted you are, remember the 6 F's of conversation. Remember the 6 F's. I was in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago. A guy picked me up who was a trucker for a job and a living. He was my host for the weekend. I was speaking there. And you know what truckers do? They drive and they stare straight ahead. They don't talk to anybody. And I'm like, I've got a weekend to be with this guy. Are you kidding me? And I remembered the 6 F's. And he's got me through a whole weekend. Hours with this guy because I remembered the 6 F's. What are the F's? Hey, what's your first name? That is the best start in the whole wide world. What's your name? The most precious word in our society is a person's name. What's your name? Trying to remember it also is a really good thing. I love name tags, by the way. You know, I love name tags. What's your first name? Next one, where are you from? Where are you from? That in itself can lead you into all kinds of conversations. Because there's the where they grew up, where they're from. It's the where they lived over the years, where they're from. It's the where they, you know, are now living now, where they're from. I had a number of conversations with people tonight. Where are you from? That was my question. And I had pleasant, enjoyable conversations. We actually found a whole group of Wisconsin people over there. The word Wisconsin came up, and pretty soon there were like 4 of us. Oh, where are you from in Wisconsin? There was all this conversation because the word, where are you from, came up. That is a great question. Where are you from? Even the most introverted person can ask that. Where are you from? You can do that, really. Another one is, tell me about your family. Tell me about your family. Now, a single person that's never been married will normally tell you about their mom or dad or brothers or sisters, or they'll tell you about that. If someone is kids, they'll tell you about that. But just tell me about your family. That's a great question. The next one can take you hours. Favorites. What's your favorite sports team? What's your favorite music? What's your favorite kind of car? What's your favorite kind of vacation? What's your favorite place you've ever gone in the world? You know what? The favorite question, hours of conversation, by just asking someone, what's your favorite? Fill in the blank. Faith. Tell me about your spiritual journey. Did you grow up a Christian? Do you know Christ? When did you come to Christ? That's a very appropriate conversation if you're going to date someone or spend one-on-one time with someone in a Christian context. Tell me about your spiritual journey. You know, that will tell a lot about a person. And the next one here is future plans. What do you got planned for the future? Are you going to go on any trips this year? You got anything special going on? What are your big projects coming up at work? But if you just remember the F's, you'll be able to carry on conversations the rest of your life and enjoy it. People's first names, where you're from, tell me about your family, what are your favorite whatevers, tell me about your faith journey, your future plans. Take an interest in others. When you do that, that's a holy and honorable way to get to know men and women and to begin to form fellowship, you know, have fellowship, to begin to form friendships, and even to go on further. Next one here is serve and honor others. Serve others. Galatians 5:13, don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. A lot of single people, they've got people at work, they go, hey, you're single. You can go on do anything you want now. You're free. That's what they'll say. And God says, okay, you're free. You're single, or you're single again. Don't use that to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Serve somebody. You know, I came up here, my kids, I've got two teenagers that go to high school, and they were saying, well, Dad, we're going to go to school. We're going to meet kids on the sports team, and we're going to meet kids in class and stuff. How are you going to meet anybody? You know, Dad, you're an author. You work at home. And I said, here's how I'm going to meet people. I'm going to serve. I'm going to find a way to serve people. And I came to all the pastors in this church. I took them all out to lunch. And I just said, hey, I'm here, and I'm just here to serve. Is there anything I could do to serve in this church? Is there anything, any direction you want to point me or push me that I can serve? And ultimately it led to connecting with Jane and the singles ministry here and just start serving. You know, it's become the elephant in my room. It's 20 to 30 hours a week to serve you. Same with Jane, 20 to 30 hours a week to serve you. There's no compensation, there's no remuneration, but it's about serving you. That's what we're just doing. What? To honor God, to bless you. But in blessing you, we're blessed. We have friendships, and we know people, and we get to meet people. I recently had a gathering at my house and invited 45 people because I knew their first names. 6 months ago, I didn't know anybody's name. But by serving people, I got to the place where I knew 45 people's names that I could invite to my house and for a football day. Wow. Serve and honor people. 1 Thessalonians 4, no one should take advantage of or exploit, overstep proper limits, trespass or do wrong other believers in this way. In other words, no bruising or breaking people's hearts, but you bless people and they are better because they've met you. Your goal is to bless people. Your goal is to honor people. Your goal is to respect people. Your goal is to be Jesus with skin on in someone's life, anyone's life that you meet. Next one here. Make yourself as attractive as you can be, inside and out. Make yourself as attractive as you can be, inside and out, outside. 1 Samuel 6, Samuel saw Jesse's son Eliab and said to him, because they were going to be anointing a king, and this guy was really tall and handsome, good-looking guy, he said to himself, this man standing here in the Lord's presence is surely the one he has chosen. But the Lord said to him, pay no attention to how tall and how handsome he is. And ladies, that might be for you. There might be some guys, the most handsome-looking guy, tallest guy, walks in, God's like, that's not for you. Not for you. Don't pay attention to that. You get fooled by that. You know, and guys, some of the prettiest women in the world can walk by in front of you. Don't get fooled by that. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. Pay no attention to how tall and handsome he is. I have rejected him because I do not judge as people judge. They look at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. God specializes in looking at your heart. He looks at your heart, and he sees what's going on there. Is it bitter? You know, when you have problems in life, you're going to become bitter or better. The difference is the E or the I. If you focus on I, yourself, you'll become bitter. If you focus on the E, which is Emmanuel, God with us, you'll become better in the midst of your problems. But God looks at the heart. But the Bible does say people look on the outward appearance. People look on the outward appearance. And I was thinking to myself, is there anywhere in the Bible that tells singles to look nice? And I found it. I found it. Romans 3, 1 to 4. Ruth had been widowed. Her mother-in-law, one day Naomi, her mother-in-law said to Ruth, "My daughter, it's time that I found a permanent home for you so that you will be provided for. Now do as I tell you. Take a bath. Put on perfume. And dress in your nicest clothes. And then go hang out by Boaz. Take a bath. Put on perfume. Dress in your nicest clothes." That was this mother-in-law's advice to her daughter-in-law. Thought, you know what? It's pretty good advice. Pretty good advice. Not just for the women, but for the men. Maybe especially for the men. Now, men, I want you wearing perfume. Okay, don't do that. But if you're going to gather with a group of people, take a bath. Take a shower. Use some soap. Shampoo, that's really good stuff. Look as nice as you can look. Put on perfume. Use deodorant. Brush your teeth. You know, use cologne, gentlemen. You know. Dress in your nicest clothes. It's interesting. It didn't say she had to be a certain size. I love that. It just said, just dress in your nicest clothes. And all of us can just do that. We can be clean. And we can smell nice, and we can look nice, and we can wear the nicest things we have. That is an okay thing to do. That is a good thing to do. It's almost like, well, people should just accept me the way I am. Well, not really. Because maybe the way you are isn't the way anybody is interested in accepting you. Why? Because people look on the outward appearance. So you be the best you can be. You make yourself as attractive as you can be on the outside, but even more importantly, on the inside. Because the most beautiful beauty is when the beauty radiates from the inside out. I love the wife that I married. Her beauty radiated from the inside out. You know, cancer ravaged her body, but her beauty radiated from the inside out. And she was an incredibly beautiful woman from the inside out. You know, I've made a number of great friends, and I've loved some of the people I've met, and I love people where their beauty radiates from the inside out. That is true, true beauty. The Ephesians 4:29. This is where some of that inside-out beauty is important. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. The idea of unwholesome talk means that which is rotten, dead, putrefied, worn out, worthless, and not fit for any use. What comes out of your mouth? Gentlemen, ladies, what comes out of your mouth? Does beauty come out? Do you build people up or tear people down? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. God says, out of your heart are to come words of encouragement, words of blessing, words that benefit others. And so often what comes out of our mouths is we just spew our bitterness, or spew our anger, or spew our hatred, or spew our issues. And it benefits no one. It doesn't even benefit us. I mean, there's a place to talk and to have people that you can talk with over tough stuff. I'm not saying that. There is those times that stuff has to come out. But God's heart is that your beauty comes from the inside. The Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And God doesn't want unwholesome things to come out of your mouth. But that which is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, you've listened to them. You've heard them. You've felt their pain or something, and you're there to bless them and to benefit and to build them up. Wow. And tip number 5, if needed, get a new heart. Get a new mind. Get new desires. Get a new life in Christ. My mother, before she died, 12 years before she died, she had a heart transplant. They took out her sick and dying heart, and they took the heart of a 19-year-old young man killed in a motorcycle accident, and they put it inside my mother. And she couldn't live with her sick heart. It was killing her. But a new heart got put in, and she lived for 12 more years. I love that God specializes in hearts, open heart surgery. Look what it says here in Ezekiel. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. Wow. God can take, you know, sometimes our lives feel like we're Humpty Dumpty that fell off the wall and it's never going to get put back together again. But God can take our bruised and bloodied and broken hearts and say, you know what? I can give you a new heart. I can make you a new person. I can give you a new mind. I can give you new desires. That's what I needed. When I was 21 years of age, that's what I needed. I didn't want to fix my old crummy broken heart. I needed a brand new heart, and the Lord Jesus gave it to me. He paid the price to give it to me. He paid the price to give it to you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. And in Christ, we can be brand new people. Now, for many of you, you're believers and you understand this and you've embraced this truth and you live this truth. But in a group this size, there are some of you. This is the only hope for you, is a new heart, a new mind, new desires, a new life that only Christ can give you. Don't push away from Him. You know how much Christ loves you? This much. He puts His arms on a cross and says, I love you this much. But we have to respond. We have to respond. So, I'm so glad you're here tonight. I'm so glad God allowed me to share these things with you. He really does have a roadmap. He really does have a future for you. He really does have good ahead for you. And I hope that something that was said tonight would somehow resonate in your heart and just take you further and farther and point you in the right direction. You're not going to fix everything overnight, but He can certainly point you in the right direction, and you can live the life that God intended. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your amazing kindness. Lord, thank you. Many years ago, when I had a sick, broken, bruised, and bloodied heart, that the Lord Jesus came into my life, made me a brand new person, gave me a new heart, gave me new desires, gave me new power to do what was right, gave me His Spirit. And Lord, I want to pray especially for anyone that might be here tonight that's where they're at. That's the need of their life. That's the need of this moment, is for them to respond to you. Lord, I pray that they would recognize that you can be their Savior. You can take away their sin. You can cleanse them. You can make them new. You can forgive them. You can give them new life. You can give them a home in heaven. You can give them a new path to walk on and a new owner's manual to operate their life with. I pray you would maybe touch one or some. For others of us that are well along in the journey, we just need to keep going in the right direction. Lord, keep us from those things, and even sometimes those people that will take us in a wrong turn or a bad place. Help us to really live our lives devoted to you, a God-pleasing life. Help each one here to experience you more fully because of their being here tonight. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, well, gee, thank you. Okay, we're going to go to our table discussions, and I'll just do that. I don't see Jane here. No, she's right here.
No, I already told her.
Okay, so if you don't have a table leader, designate someone, and just kind of work through the questions. And also for personal study, there's some verses I put if you want to go home and study some of these things more. Thanks, and God bless.